Hello and welcome to PCB Chat. I'm Mike Buto, Editor-in-Chief of PCDNF and Circuits Assembly. My guests today are John Mitchell, President and CEO of IPC, and Chris Mitchell, IPC's Vice President of Global Government Relations. If Chris's name is unfamiliar to listeners, it's because he just joined IPC a couple of weeks ago at the tail end of their Apex Expo trade show. Welcome to PCB Chat, gentlemen.
Thank you
for inviting us.
Chris, since you are new, perhaps we can start by asking you to describe for our listeners your background in government relations.
Sure. I've been involved in politics and policy for close to 20 years. I started my career on Capitol Hill. I worked for three members of Congress from the state of California, one from Southern California, a since retired member, Anthony Bjelanson, and then later worked for two Silicon Valley members of Congress, Anna Eshoo and Mike Conda. So I had the good fortune to work for the two of them during an interesting time in Silicon Valley and handle tech issues for them. And then left Capitol Hill and joined Prime Policy Group, which is one of Washington's leading government relations firms. And there I worked with a real cross-section of clients, mainly the business community, Fortune 500 companies, both domestic and multinational, some foreign. It was a real cross-section of clients. So we also represented local governments, educational institutions. So a real variety of clients and a variety of issues as a result. And I was there at Prime Policy for about 9-10 years before joining IPC just this month.
So while at Prime Policy Group, did you encounter any crossover with current IPC members or their issues?
Actually, quite a bit of crossover. For 9 of my 10 years at Prime Policy Group, I actually represented IPC. And so I was in daily interaction with their government relations team here in Washington. And in addition, had regular contact with many of the members, members who came to Washington in order to participate in either our annual fly-in or for specific advocacy meetings, and then at the trade show and other events. So in that sense, I'm very familiar with IPC's priorities here in Washington. And then in addition, I represented clients, as I alluded to earlier, a variety of clients that had issues that very much aligned with the priorities that IPC has set out here in Washington. So, for example, tax reform was a big priority last year for many of my clients, and was able to help them in their pursuit of tax reform, just as I helped IPC.
Well, it sounds like you're coming in at an important time, and you sound like a great fit. So we welcome you to our sector of the industry.
It's wonderful to be now in-house for IPC, where I can have a lot more interaction with the membership and the industry at large.
Great. John, let's turn to you. As we roll into 2018, okay, what are IPC's key government and programs and initiatives, and what are IPC's expectations of the support that we'll receive from Washington, D.C.?
Sure. So the last, 5 years or so, we've been trying to really establish our presence as a government relations body on behalf of the industry. Because, as you know, so many things that happen in governments, whether it's in Brussels, Beijing, or D.C., can really impact this entire industry. And so we've done a lot of what I'd call blocking and tackling, getting our name more aware to the movers and shakers in each of those regions. And we've done that through, as Chris mentioned, the fly-ins like Impact that we have done it in the U.S. each year that I've been here. The last couple of years, we've done it in Europe as well. And then we also have done given testimony and really brought members of Congress into specific plants of our members, et cetera, so they get a chance to face-to-face talk to the members as well. They don't always have to go fly to Washington, D.C. or fly into Brussels or wherever. So that's kind of the history. Where we're headed now, we're going to continue doing those kinds of things, but we're also trying to ensure that we're taking more of a global approach, even more so. So as of this year, we're taking our government relations committee and regionalizing it and then having kind of a super global committee over above it. So we're looking to have an Asia committee, a European committee, and a North American committee. So that's one thing that we're changing this year. Additionally, we're focused on workforce development. This seems to be an issue everywhere. I had the honor of sitting on a skills development panel in Europe about a year and a half ago, and there seems to be a lot of need across the industry globally, but also especially here in the U.S., with finding people that are that have the right work skills, if you will. IPC has done some surveys last year, actually, that showed that 66% of our members found it either difficult or very difficult to find production workers in their field, just missing some basic skills. And so we're looking to work with government and trying to find ways to advance programs that will help the industry on that front. And then also here in the U.S., there is a movement by the Trump administration to do more. And there's been some studies that were kicked off by the executive agent Crane on the Commerce Department that we're just seeing the preliminary results of. We expect the official results to come out that show how challenging this industry, the challenges that this industry in North America especially are facing. So we're looking to take action with the government on that front as well, in working with them to see what we can do to shore up the entire global supply chain, and both locally as well as globally.
So the workforce development, John, I'm guessing that that's an area that's near and dear to your heart.
Oh, you betcha. So, yes, we're hoping we can get government to support us, but we're not waiting on government to move things forward in that front. And so we have an entire area, and Chris and his team are supporting with some other organizations, specifically in the D.C. front, where we're trying to find both grants and other opportunities to get the government to subsidize some education for our member companies as well. And so we'll be coming out to member companies in some targeted areas in working with them directly to put together a package that will allow them to get free training. And to, you know, the majority of our members at IPC are small and medium-sized businesses. And it's hard. Even when I was in a $2 billion company, I remember I promoted a gentleman and said, "Hey, congratulations, you're now the team lead." And he was sharp. He turned to me and said, "So where's my training?" And, you know, honestly, we didn't really have any formal training. So we're trying to help fill that need that exists at all companies, but especially in small, medium-sized companies where, you know, you're trying to make ends meet on all these things. There's a lot of challenges from regulations as well. That's another area that we'll continue to work on the advocacy front. But yeah, workforce development, we think, is something that IPC can make a significant positive difference for all of our members.
In Washington, there is a almost universally recognized need to address the country's both short-term and long-term workforce needs. On the other hand, I do believe there is a real interest on the part of policymakers to see the private sector take leadership roles. I think that's what IPC is trying to do in its ambitious workforce and educational agenda. And in Washington and elsewhere around the world, we're going to look to see how our agenda can align and build off the efforts of governments.
I think it's quite interesting, just going back to something that John mentioned about dividing the world into the three segments and coming up with an overriding structure, which, if I am sort of extrapolating from Chris's title, you will be in charge of that, correct, Chris?
Yes. Well, obviously, with resources, we're investing in our government relations programs in Asia as well as Europe. And so we'll have teams in each location to help support the work that we do. But you're right, it'll be over under this overarching framework, a framework that has been developed in consultation with members and is really adopted by the GR committees of these regions.
And have you identified the staff that will be working with you here in the U.S.?
So we currently have an office here in Washington, as you know, and we'll be beefing up that office a little bit to replace some people we've lost over the last year. So that process is ongoing, and then we're doing the same thing in Europe as well. And that's ongoing, and we hope to make announcements soon.
Good.
Very soon.
Now, going back to IPC Apex Expo for a moment, one of the exhibitors was the Department of Defense executive agent. Now, John, with respect to the executive agent, how does IPC see its position on ensuring continuing funding of that function and supporting its charter of developing policy and supply chain assessments to ensure the U.S. can support DoD needs?
Yeah, so IPC and Crane, the executive agent, really, I feel like we're kind of sister organizations, if you will. I mean, nearly 15 years ago, a lot of the study and efforts of Dave Bergman actually helped bring about Crane becoming the executive agent. And those studies are still referred to today in terms of highlighting some of the concerns in the PCB industry in North America and why it needed to have an executive agent to find trusted sources and to help develop policies that will ensure that. Going forward, you know, Crane asked or put forward the request to help revalidate that same data, and it's only gotten more terrifying, if you will, if you're a PCB manufacturer. Back in the day when the report came out, it was pointing toward a drastic reduction in the PCB supplier market, and it's now something like one quarter to one fifth of what it was then when we thought it was so terrible. So IPC is continuing to work with Crane, and we meet with them several times a year to discuss how we can align our programs and efforts together to help the industry. So we find it very important when we talk, when I'm in the Pentagon. So actually, Chris, because he was there with me in his role at Prime Policy, I want to say it was last September, was the most recent conversation I had in the Pentagon. And, you know, we bring up specifically, hey, Crane has this initiative. If they're not there with us, then we're talking about them. So I really look at it as a partnership, and we're both trying to move the same agenda forward on behalf of the PCB industry. The only possible difference that I would highlight would be I'm less patient. Typically, government agencies talk about 5-year horizons, and I'd rather talk about 5-week horizons. But we're trying to diligently support each other's efforts.
Now, I know that the executive agent isn't allowed to lobby for its own existence. You know, one of the things that each government department, I'm sure, particularly today, you know, is of course worried about is its own funding and its future. IPC has its annual member lobbying event coming up in May. John, could you describe the plans for this year's impact meetings, and will the executive agent and its status be among the topics?
It's probably not a main topic, but it always comes up as part of that, because where we focus on that is when the budgeting type discussions happen. That's when we kind of roll out that issue there. Impact, and maybe Chris, maybe I could give it to Chris to talk a little bit about what the agenda items will be on impact. But Crane does enter into it as we talk with the DoD and we talk about the PCB portion of the industry specifically. Then we're often citing the importance of Crane and helping reinforce that so that when it comes to those budget discussion times and where they're trying to do allocations of funds, we can reemphasize those points that we made at Impact.
And Mike, why don't I jump in and I'll talk a little bit about impact and our plans for impact, and then I'll, in so doing, I'll try to answer your question about the executive agent. So we're gearing up, very excited about impact. That's our annual lobby fly-in. It'll take place. I think our opening, our welcome dinner is on the evening of May 21st, followed by 2 days of advocacy meetings with senior policymakers from the executive branch, as well as Capitol Hill. In the past, we've had some really impressive, remarkable senior officials. I expect that we'll have the same kind of participation this year. We're currently in touch with the Departments of Labor, with the White House, with the Department of Education, DOD, to name just a few, and we're getting a real positive signals from each of those departments that they would love to participate. So. Typically our executive branch, our meetings with executive branch officials take place that first day on the 20, which will be the 22nd. Okay. And then on the 23rd, we head up to Capitol Hill. The morning is usually dedicated to interacting with senior congressional officials, both in leadership, both Senate and House, but also committee chairman. And then in the afternoon, we help facilitate the ability of individual IPC members to meet with their own members of Congress. And so we'll be doing that again this year, and that's usually an opportunity that most members take advantage of and really value. In terms of the issues,
Chris,
as John indicated.
I was going to say, before you jump into the issues, maybe you could offer just a little bit of color on that for those who haven't gone that are listening to this. You know, we've received wonderful feedback from the executives that come out to this event, and the format, we educate them. So a lot of people, when they first come, they're worried, oh, I don't know really what to talk about, or how do I pose the questions? So there are preparation phone calls beforehand, so people will know about that. We talk about people who have talk with members who have specific issues with some of the topics that Chris will share with you, and so we come prepared. And those people will have their stories, if you will, that they're able to share eloquently. There's always somebody along the ride with you at all of those meetings, so that you don't feel like, oh, I'm kind of on my own and I got to figure it out. You know, whether it's an IPC staff member or a member of, one of our supported teams like Prime Policy, that there's always somebody there that knows much more. I mean, I was nervous myself the very first time I did one of these. And so we kind of make sure you can be successful when you come out. But the importance of this event is that, you know, IPC, we're up there. Chris lives there. And his team, you know, he's got a team in D.C. that are meeting with these folks all the time. But when we, you know, and I get up there, I don't know, every 4 to 6 weeks or so. So they hear from us, and we keep that presence happening. But it's so impactful when a PCB manufacturer shows up and he can say, hey, look, this is what happened. I mean, I will never forget the story. We had a gentleman from Illinois. He had literally had business that was knocking at his door. All he had to do was get a loan so he could do the equipment and basically done all his math. But at that time, before, you know, an IPC used this story to help push this through, the R&D tax credit wasn't permanent. It was actually retroactive, and the bank denied him his loans, and he wasn't able to build business to open a line because of that. And those kinds of stories, you know, how regulations really impact real life, are what make a difference to these decision makers on the Hill or in Europe or wherever it may be. And that's the importance of getting as many people out there as we can. Sorry, go ahead.
And John, we have so many examples like that, right? We, the involvement and leadership of Congressman Bill Johnson from Ohio, for example, on the TSCA reform issue.
Yep.
He championed a couple of our interests, key interests, with regards to that bill. And the reason he engaged on our behalf is because member companies in his district were able to communicate clearly how this issue impacted them. Same thing with export controls and a whole host of other issues. So there really is no substitute for IPC members coming to Washington and communicating with their representatives directly.
You know, John mentioned how it can be a challenge to deal with the length of time it may take to get something to change. I mean, I can share my own personal story, having worked at IPC years ago, back when we were pushing for a shortening of the capital depreciation laws. You know, at that time, we wanted to cut it from 5 years to three and sort of front load the depreciation in year one. Eventually, that came about, but it took a long time. How do you approach members and explain to them that their efforts today might not come to fruition, you know, for several years?
That's a great question.
But on the other hand, we have some pretty good examples of how long-term advocacy efforts lead to change. And just look at the last tax bill. I mean, that was arguably decades in the making. And it's unfortunate that we had to wait so long for it. But when you look at the details, we have 100% expensing for capital acquisition of capital equipment, a lowering of the marginal corporate tax rates. I mean, these are things that didn't come about overnight. There was a sustained long-term advocacy effort that was responsible for persuading policymakers to identify those and set those priorities. The head of IPC government relations here in Washington, with a global portfolio, we understand that IPC members, they have businesses to run, and our job is to make sure that we work with them so that their efforts in persuading policymakers are strategic, targeted, and that we're making the best use of their time. And that's why when members come to Washington, for example, in May for Impact, or to Brussels in November, we have that fly-in has been preceded by months, if not years, of advocacy, so that by the time they get here, their message will be received as favorably as possible, and that they are helping us push these advocacy goals over the finish line. Picking up on some of the issues, you know, John talked a lot about workforce issues. That's an issue that we're going to be talking a lot about in May during Impact, because we do want policymakers to understand that our industry is not waiting for government action. The need is that important, is present, and so as an industry, we are taking a leadership role, and in so taking a leadership role, we're hoping that we can find real alignment with what this administration is seeking to implement in the area of workforce training, apprenticeships, and so forth. So we'll be talking to policymakers about that. Regulatory reform is an ongoing issue. This administration has been seeking to rationalize some of the regulatory process, but also the rules that are currently in place. And so we've been working with a number of agencies and Congress with respect to regulatory reform, as well as issues related to our manufacturing base and to promoting manufacturing. Manufacturing was a top priority. It was a big priority under the Obama administration. This administration is taking slightly different approaches to that issue. And so we are adapting so that we can take advantage of the opportunities that are emerging. And we want to be part of that discussion, and we're engaging policymakers already in regards to those priorities. And so that by Impact, we can be relevant and engaged in the issues that will be coming to Capitol Hill and will be coming out of the various executive branch agencies in the form of rulemakings and so forth.
Yeah. So, Mike, it really comes back to, IPC's mission is, furthering the competitive excellence and financial success of its members. And we do that really in four areas. We do it in standards. We do it in education. We do it in advocacy and solutions. And actually, the solutions really is finding ways to leverage the other three areas. So we're looking to leverage both education and advocacy in trying to help workforce development. In other areas, we utilize standards and education. So we use these tools to help the membership and also to further the goals that they hear about, whether it's a regulatory issue that they're facing, and it's also keeping them aware of the potential issues that might be coming down the pike that, we don't want to get the industry caught by surprise. And so that's another part that Chris and his team will be working on, is trying to make sure that we're aware of the whisperings in the halls before they become laws and regulations, so that we can bring facts and science to bear on those things to try to make them sane. To our conversation with Mr. Pruitt of the EPA last year was, hey, we have collaborated with the EPA in the past. We can actually find things that are good for the environment that actually make sense for business, as opposed to creating an insane burden upon business. And let's find a way to work together again. So those are the kinds of conversations we're hoping to have, to work with governments to help the industry, as opposed to ignoring them or just saying, hey, that's not part of life, because it's such a big impact on our industry.
As John described, impact puts members something out of their comfort zone, not because of what they talk about, but rather to whom they say it. Some smaller assemblers and fabricators may feel their customers, the Boeings, the Lockheed Martins, the Northrops, and so on, might be in better position to promote the case for government recognition of the electronic supply chain than their own entities would be. What do you think about that, and what steps does IPC take to ensure the right people are in front of the right congressmen?
So let me take a first crack at it, Chris, and then you can correct me. And so first off, as you mentioned, Mike, a lot of these larger companies, especially in the aerospace and defense market, they have presences in DC themselves, and so they're there a lot. And the members of Congress and the members of the various administrative branches, et cetera, get to hear from them quite often. This is one of the advantages that IPC, with approximately 80% of its members being small and medium-sized businesses, there's a real appetite to hear that. A lot of members of Congress want to hear the small guy's story, because this country was built on the backs of small business enterprises, small, medium-sized enterprises. So they shouldn't feel that, why would they want to listen to me? Boeing can really talk about these huge impacts. No, they want to hear from, in terms of business size, the little guys, but it's the little guys that are making up the main chunk of American businesses and jobs, et cetera. So it's very important. In terms of, I was a little nervous the first time I met with a congressman or any specific dignitary. They're people. Everybody's just people. And so, as I mentioned, usually when we go into a meeting, there's somebody, I'll typically kick off the discussion. So it's not like, oh, how do we get it going? And then people fall into their comfort zone. They know their businesses. They know the challenges they're facing. And so we kind of take away that fear of the opening, the awkwardness of an opening comment, by sharing, hey, this is why we're here. These are who these people are, and they represent, and what their concerns are. And here's an issue. And then we identified at least one or two that are ready with stories, so that there isn't silence at that point. And then from there, we encourage anybody who wants to speak up, hey, yeah, I have that same issue. In fact, my story was XYZ, and they share their story. So you get comfortable with it fairly quickly. The first meeting, if it's your first meeting, the first meeting of impact might be a little, hey, let me sit back and watch, but that's okay. But you're always encouraged to share, and that's how we make sure that they are hearing the messages of the members. But of course, the members have to be there for them to hear it, and that's why it's such an important meeting for us.
Yes, congressional representatives, they don't necessarily expect visiting constituents to be experts on policy, but they certainly expect them to be experts on their own businesses, and that's really where you see value. And it's the reason why, you know, the companies you mentioned in your question so frequently call upon their own suppliers to visit Washington to advocate for shared priorities. And so that's there's no substitute for a company coming to Washington advocating for its own interests. We see the work that we do here as very much supporting those voices. And as we set the priorities in consultation with the GR committee, we want to use the members to the greatest degree possible. Because again, they are the greatest spokespeople for their businesses and for their interests.
Well, John and Chris, that's a great response and reminder to the small and medium-sized businesses not to punt on this opportunity to get in front of their congressional leaders. If I may, I'd like to ask just one last question. John, perhaps not all of our listeners know, but you were named to the National Association of Manufacturers Board of Directors last year.
Yes, the council underneath the National Association of Manufacturers (NAM), there's something called the Council of Manufacturing Associations (CMA), and I'm currently sitting on their board. I'm entering into my second year there, which is great. So we have the opportunity to collaborate even further with NAM. We've been doing so since we joined the CMA, but it's quite the honor to have been nominated and elected to their board.
So, you know, with the current administration, many IPC members, and in fact, you know, many folks outside of our industry, are noting a new emphasis on manufacturing and its importance to the United States. In that vein, how is IPC positioning its membership to Congress as a tech industry or a manufacturing industry or something of a hybrid?
It's both for sure. And I mean, we're really there is an opportunity. I always try to find opportunity in every situation, you know. So while all of our members may not agree with the politics of any given presidency, et cetera, we try to find the opportunities to benefit our members within whatever administration is there. As Chris was mentioning, in the Obama administration, we had the NNMI, which is now called the Manufacturing USA, which was an opportunity to get involved and help manufacturing. So when we position IPC, we talk about it as both technology as well as manufacturing. And that speaks, and then it's also, for the majority part, small and medium-sized businesses. So we're hitting on some nice sweet spots right now with the current administration, so they do tend to take our calls and listen. And as Chris mentioned, they are expressing interest in getting involved again with us this year at Impact, just like they did this past year.
Chris, for listeners who want to participate in Impact, which I'm surprised I got through this without calling it Capitol Hill Day. It's former name. For people that want to participate, should they reach out to you, or is there somebody else that you would direct them to?
We have a microsite that we can provide you that you can provide your listeners, and people can get more information through that microsite. They're always free to call me, and I would urge, if I have a pitch to your listeners, don't wait for Impact to reach out to me. Again, we are very membership-driven at IPC, and I want to take advantage of member interest in all the work that we do, again, not just here in the U.S., but around the world. And so to the degree that I can persuade more members to get involved in IPC government relations, the better. So don't wait. Feel free to get in touch with me. I can provide more information about our work here in Washington and elsewhere, as well as provide more information about Impact. And I can provide you my contact information, so you can provide that along with the microsite.
Thank you, Chris. My guests today have been John Mitchell and Chris Mitchell of IPC. We've been talking about the IPC Government Relations Program and the upcoming impact meetings in May of 2018, May 21st to 23rd to be exact. John, Chris, thank you so much for coming on PCB Chat.
Thank you, Mike.
Listeners who are interested in learning more about IPC's impact meetings at Washington, D.C., may go to ipc.org/impact-2018. Anyone with an interest in IPC's government relations activities can reach directly out to Chris Mitchell at 202-661-8097. That's 202-661-8097, or by email. Chris's email address is chrismitchell@ipc.org. This has been Mike Buto for PCB Chat. Have a nice day.